I believe many times we forget that these elders and these leaders in our congregations were at one time like these precious little children that we see running around here playing before the meetings begin and at our home congregations out in the yard. At one time, they were little children. And at one time, they needed direction. And at one time, they needed guidance from their parents. And before a man can become a leader in any capacity, he must first be a follower. And one cannot be a follower without the presence of a leader. And in order for a follower to have the potential to become a leader in the church, he must have a spiritually minded and spiritually focused leader in his life on a daily basis. Now, few people in our lives and in the lives of these young men have a more impactful influence on a child than their mother. Mothers have a very important role in raising godly men. From the time a child is born, they begin to absorb. And as a child's mind is in rapid development, their brains are like a sponge. So Christian mothers, here's the question. When is the best time to begin training your children in the way they should go? Well, the answer to that is quite simple. It's day one. It should begin day one when they are young. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, a very familiar passage to all of us, says, "When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, I am persuaded is in you also." See, Paul recalls the genuine faith that Timothy possesses, and he said that it dwelt first in his grandmother and then in his mother. Now, do you think that just because his grandmother and his mother possessed this genuine faith, that Timothy just inherited it, that it just came natural to him because his grandmother was faithful and his mother was faithful? Is that just something he was born with? Well, we know the answer to that. Of course not. That's not something that we inherit. That's something that must be taught. And we cannot be taught if we do not have a teacher, if we do not have a leader, and most importantly, if we are not first a follower. What are some important things that mothers teach us that are important to men qualifying for eldership? Well, the first thing that mothers teach us is obedience. And it's important that as potential leaders, children are taught to be obedient to the commands of God, the orders of their parents, and the law of the land. Titus chapter 3 and verse 1 says, "Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work." My mother did a great job of doing this, although my mother and I do not hold the same spiritual beliefs. We do not go to the same church, and neither does my grandmother. We don't hold these same beliefs, but she instilled the importance of going to church and spiritual things being important in my life. And she instilled that in me and taught me that growing up. And another thing, that a more secular example, she taught us about the laws of the land and about safety and being obedient to those things through wearing our seat belts. And I can remember, well, anytime I get in the car now, the first thing I do is put on my seat belt. And I can remember when I was a little child, my sister and I, we had rode all the way home from Walmart, and we got in the driveway at the house, and we realized that we didn't have our seatbelts on. And we cried uncontrollably because we knew that it was against the law. And we knew that we weren't supposed to do that and that our mom would be disappointed in us. So we cried, and my mom couldn't understand why we were so upset. And we told her what we had done. And she said, "It's okay. But you realize that if something had happened, if we had been in an accident, you would have been terribly hurt. And if I had been pulled over and you two weren't in your seatbelts, I would have been in big trouble. And your safety was at risk." So we understood that. That instilled that in us. And every time my sister and I both get in a vehicle, there's no question, there's no concern about that. We always buckle our seatbelt because from a young age, we were taught that that was an important thing to do. And my grandmother, she also did a very good job of this. My grandmother and I, we never missed a church service, although I was not in the church at the time. My whole life growing up, my grandmother made sure that I was in church every Sunday, every Wednesday night, every Sunday night, every revival. We were always there. And another example from my grandmother was a time that she whipped me when I was little. And it was for a good reason. I ran out in front of a car in the McDonald's parking lot. And at the time I was little and I didn't understand. So I just ran to the car because I saw it. I didn't understand the danger. I didn't understand that there were possibly fatal consequences for that action. But I ran out in front of the car and she grabbed me up and she swatted my tail. And it broke my heart at the time that she did that. And I was upset and I was just devastated that my sweet grandmother had just tanned my hide. But now looking back at that, although at the time it hurt my feelings, I realized that she was just trying to teach me that running into oncoming traffic is counterproductive and that it could be... Now another thing that mothers teach us is behavior. And Titus chapter 3 and verse 2 tells us to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. And my girlfriend's mother is a perfect example of this. Her name's Melissa Miller, and she's a very faithful attendee of the Blue Springs congregation. And something that I always hear her say to her children is, be kind. And that's a very simple statement, but it's very profound. Be kind. How often do we tell each other that? How often do our mothers and our grandmothers tell us just simply to be kind? There's so much that goes with those two words. Be kind. She's one of the most humble and godly women that I've ever met. And I look at her as a mother figure myself. And I've never heard her say a bad thing about anyone. And she doesn't tolerate that behavior from any of her children either. If any of her children ever say anything, or anybody in the house says something negative about somebody, she stops them. She says, we do not talk about people that way in here. Do not say anything negative. Be kind. And it is not kind to say bad things about other people. And her mother's mother has the same trait. And I can tell that she has been trained and raised in that same way. But another thing that I think is important and often overlooked is that mothers also teach us that we are human beings and that we make mistakes and that mistakes are possible. And we have all witnessed our mothers make a mistake. And I want to ask mothers, when we make a mistake or when you make a mistake, how do you handle it? Do you sweep it under the rug or do you try to ignore that it happened? Do you try to tell your children to ignore that you've made that mistake, or do you use it to your advantage? Whenever you make a mistake, you should turn it into a teachable moment, because that shows your children that you can make mistakes and they're not going to feel so overwhelmed and they're not going to feel so, they're not going to see it as such a difficult thing to meet the standards. Because of course it is important to strive not to make those mistakes. But in the event that we do, it's important that we show that there is a way to fix it. That's like going to the doctor and they tell you you're sick, but they don't give you a prescription. It's important that we always tell our children how to fix their mistakes and turn our own mistakes into teachable moments that we can use. And this reminds me of, and number four, mothers have a potential to pave the way. And this reminds me of a story that one of my great friends and a preacher in the church, Zach Evans, he told me a story about his grandmother. And he told me that she made a decision a long time ago as a young woman to obey the gospel. And because of her obedience, her influence, her character, most of her family has been obedient. And Zach has preached all over the world, as well as his uncle. And based upon that, and just because of all the work they have done, that decision she made a long time ago has impacted so many people that she never would have realized. So young women sitting here in the audience today, you have the potential to pave the way. You have the potential to make a difference. You have that potential by being obedient, by working on your character, and by preparing yourself to be a godly mother and a godly wife. And mothers, you have such an amazing influence, so please use it. The future of the church and its leadership depends on it. And hopefully, based on your diligent spiritual guidance, your sons will marry spiritually focused women. And your daughters will marry men with the same mindset. Now for wives, this is about mothers and wives, so I'll touch on that for a second. Wives, you have a great responsibility as well. It's important that wives be supportive of their husbands and their works in the church. And also to be critical, constructively critical, of course. Because it's important whenever your husband, if he's a teacher or a leader in the church, after he has taught a lesson, he always is going to hear walking out the door, good job. Good job, you did great, good lesson. Sometimes you just need to know what you did wrong. You need to know how to fix it. You need to know how to improve yourself. And it seems that that intimate relationship that you have would make it easier for you to help him in that way. And it's also important to be nurturing to your husband, and also be on board. You need to be on board with his efforts to further the church, and this will help your husband in his efforts as a leader, and hopefully eventually as an elder to further the work of the church. And a great example of a Christian couple on the same spiritual brainwave is Aquila and Priscilla. In Acts chapter 18 and verse 26, it says, "So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue when Aquila and Priscilla heard him. They took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately." Now they worked together as husband and wife, as a Christian couple, to help this man learn the truth. So mothers, wives, you have a direct and powerful influence on your children and your husbands. You need to be spiritually equipped to do this. And of course, that comes through continued study and obedience to God's Word. Be spiritually focused. Be spiritually minded. Let that be seen through your words and through your actions. Pave the way for the leaders and the eldership of the church.